Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, we're very used to seeing cows grazing in paddocks up and down the country in New Zealand, but across the ditch in Australia, farmers will be moving to more what are called contained housing systems as the climate changes and temperatures increase. They say that by 2030, more than a third of Australia's cows will be housed indoors to keep them cool. So what does containment farming look like, and what challenges come with that style of farming? Karen Romano is National Feeding and Farm Systems Lead at Dairy Australia and joins us to answer some questions. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jesse. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, no, we're super interested. Thank you for your time. Can you sort of paint us a picture of these contained housing systems that will feel a bit unnatural probably to most New Zealand farmers?
Yeah, I tend to agree, Jesse. So more than happy to share what we're seeing over here. So similar to you, Jesse, where our farmers in Australia and regions of Australia are starting to find conditions challenging. So volatile operating environments with flood, fire, heat waves impacting on some farmers, and then some other pressures impacting on the way they want to farm, i.e. Urban encroachment onto farms and some other underlying issues. So what we're seeing is that some farms are making a decision to change the way they approach farming, moving away from a grazing production system towards the system where we're starting to grow more forages for our animals, shifting away from grazing and then trying to put animals in an environment where they're protected and more comfortable, and we can actually achieve a more sustainable dairy production. So I'm happy to explain those systems, if you like, Jesse, to give that understanding as well, what they look like.
Yeah, how much space do the cows have, and what are the temperatures like in there?
Yeah, so good questions from that perspective. So when we talk about contained housing in Australia, there are three main types that we see. One is a dairy dry lot, so it's an urban area where animals can stand. That dry lot has a central feed pad where animals can be fed a TMR ration, and then you also have that critical component of shade and protection for animals to stand under. So that might be a roofed shelter with a compost-style bedding underneath it. So that's one type of housing structure we see. The second one is what we call loose housing facilities. These facilities typically have a roof over them. They have a central feed alley or an external feed alley. And then importantly, animals rest in an area of either a compost bedded pack or a deep litter pack. So if the animals have freedom to move, freedom to loaf. We have recommendations for best practice in building those where we give enough space per animal so that it can actually keep the pack dry and make sure the absolute highest level of comfort offered to those animals. And the third type we see, Jesse, is what we call a free stall. So a free stall system has a cubicle where an animal can loaf. The bedding in that cubicle might be sand, or it might be recycled manure, or could be a mattress. Once again, those animals have access to feed on a feed pad, and then also have that ability to move between where they rest in the cubicle and when they go and feed during the day. Each of those systems aims during the lactation period to have animals contained within that area, and so they wouldn't be going out in a grazing situation, which might be common in New Zealand.
Yeah, these must be huge structures. Is it economic to build them for that many cows?
Yeah, good question. So we see a range in expense with those three types of systems, the cheapest being a dairy dry lot to the most expensive at this stage being a free stall. We've conducted research in Australia looking at the economics of intensive systems and also the risks imposed on each. So we've actually recorded the performance of 14 farms in two states, in New South Wales and Victoria. And by and large, we have seen those systems being profitable And even despite the capital investment into those types of systems. So, so far we have seen that occur. We have learnt, Jesse,
that that transition phase
from moving from one system to another can have a lag period where people are learning to operate the new system. And so we're investing in research to support farmers to make that, that transition smoother.
How hot does it have to be before you think about moving the cows indoors?
Yeah, so both in New Zealand and Australia and internationally, we've done extensive research to look at when an animal starts to show signs of heat stress. And that can be as low in temperatures in the low 25, or below 25 degrees, in fact, in some circumstances, particularly when we have high levels of humidity in the air. So stress can occur in different forms with an animal making them feel uncomfortable in the actual heat itself, but then can have longer term impacts. So can impact fertility of animals and then affect the future generations that are born from those animals that are exposed to heat stress. So it's quite a significant cost to both the animal and to a farmer's livelihood as well.
How much of this are you doing already, and have there been any challenges to come with the style of farming?
Yeah, so we're in Australia, Jesse. Was that 2010 we started to see free stalls becoming on the radar within Victoria? And of course, feed pads have always been there. Over time, we've started, because of the challenges of operating environments, we've started to see a faster movement towards these systems. So we estimate now that about 5% of our dairy farm businesses in Australia now have moved to this intensive farm system. So that's a zero grazing system. Importantly, of that 5% of the industry, we're seeing that representative about 20% of Australia's milk pool. What we need to keep in sight is this, Jesse, is it doesn't mean that Australia is going to move away from being a grazing animal production industry. A majority of our farms within Australia will always have grazing as part of the makeup of their farm system. But in some parts of Australia where there's pressures from about availability of irrigation water to grow forages for animals or more volatile operating conditions, you'll see some farm systems moving towards intensification. In 2030, what does it look like? We might have, we will see an increase in these systems, but once again, it won't be the whole industry, Jesse. We'll still have that predominant focus on grazing.
Do you think we'll see this in New Zealand?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, Jesse, because I actually caught up with one of your New Zealand colleagues last week. She came across, Dawn Daly from Dairy NZ, to come and present at a conference in Australia. And Dawn and I caught up and talked about the challenges, particularly in the South Island, that some farms are facing. So down towards Invercargill, with cooler conditions impact on the growth of some perennial pastures, and so with some farm systems moving to growing forages to feed animals at certain times of the year. But that has challenges when it's wet and cold with mud and cow comfort. So when Dawn and I chatted, we felt that there were some opportunities to start to look at what's happening in Australia. I don't see your entire industry moving that way. But in areas where it becomes challenging to graze, where heat is starting to impact cow performance, where we want to make sure we're maximising cow comfort, we may look to build in your country some type of feeding and housing infrastructure to support animals and the management of those systems into the future.
How do farmers tend to feel about it, by the way?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's seeking to understand why farmers are making the change and what it does for their animals. We had a recent event called Raising the Roof in late February. We had a number of farmers, 260 people attended that event, and the resounding theme when farmers spoke about why they made these farm system changes, they'd made it to actually lead to a better level of comfort for their animals in their businesses. So
people are doing it, Jesse, to look after animals and make sure they've got it, you know, they can succeed and find into the future. But once again, it's not for everyone. And so you will have people in predominantly grazing areas, such as in Gippsland, the southwest of Victoria, in Tasmania, they'll say, well, that's not for me. But those regions are looking at some type of off-paddock facilities when it becomes too wet or too hot to be able to put animals into those areas, you know, to maximise cow comfort and to protect the pasture bases as well. So we'll see a change ultimately, but not everyone, Jesse, not everyone.
Very interesting. Karen Romano, National Feeding and Farm Systems Lead at Dairy Australia, thanks so much for your time today.
No worries. Thank you, Jesse.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.